Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Fantasy Foot Beer Podcast. I'm James Kemp, joined as always by my good friend and fierce fantasy rival, Dr. Michael Stewart. Dr. Stu, what's up, buddy?
Hey, James, what's going on? Happy weekend. No work today, so I can't talk about that. I got to talk about something else in my little intro. We're a couple of days late, and we're sorry about that, but a big storm rolled through the Midwest, knocked out our power. You were out of power for a little while. You're still recovering from that, so we're just a few days late, but we are excited to be talking about another division. We're starting the AFC East today, talking about the Bills, talking about the Dolphins for about 30 seconds for the Dolphins, and we'll have a good time with it. We actually have news today. I'm really, really looking forward to talking about news because I think the last 2 or 3 weeks we haven't had anything new happen in the NFL, and now we're finally getting camp news. We're getting injuries from camp. We're getting signings. Brandon Ayuk is still crazy. It's a good time, James. But before we get into all the meaty stuff, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, you know, I'm doing okay. I am the big reason why we are late this week, and I apologize to all of you, our loyal listeners. But as Stu said, big storm came through and knocked out our power for about two and a half days, something like that. So, yeah, not fun. But we are here now, and we are going to talk fantasy football for you. So, the Bills and the Dolphins today, some interesting things. But first, I'm interested in hearing what you are drinking this evening, my friend.
Yes. So, continuing my slight, it's not a theme. What is that, like, literary or filmography term? It's
a motif.
A motif. My little Canadian motif. This is another from our neighbors to the north. This is the Vanilla Bourbon Stout from Waterloo Brewing. So this is near to my brother and sister-in-law. They used to live in Kitchener, I believe. So it was a place near there, and now they've moved away. So this is going to be probably the last I drink ever, unless I really go and seek it out. But haven't tried the Vanilla Bourbon Stout. I know I'm supposed to save a little bit for my wife who wants to sample it, but looking forward to trying it. It is 6% ABV, 45 IBUs. Should be fun. I like all the other stuff that I've tried from Waterloo Brewing. But as we keep going, James, what are you drinking this Saturday evening?
So I decided today to break out a special one. If you are a fan of craft beer, especially in the Midwest, Great Lakes area, you're probably familiar with this beer. It's one that you can only get in Wisconsin, and it is a cult favorite. It is, of course, the New Glarus Brewing Spotted Cow. Now, my fact I got on this one: it claims to be a farmhouse ale, which would be like a traditional Belgian style. It's not really a farmhouse ale if you taste it and you really analyze it. It's closer to a cream ale, but it's really not a cream ale either. So it's kind of a weird mix between those two, which kind of makes it unique. It's very effervescent. But yeah, people love it, and I'm excited to drink it. Oh, another thing. I bought this after the Road America IndyCar race in a random gas station, and I just happened to run into a former IndyCar driver, Jack Harvey, also buying Spotted Cow. So there's that. So let's crack these bad boys in 3, 2, 1. So you could say that Jack Harvey and I bonded over Spotted Cow, I guess.
Or something. I'd like say that. It.
Yeah. All right, Stu. So let's kick off this baby with some news. First off, DeAndre Hopkins. I have heard conflicting reports on whether or not he's considered to be retired right now, but he is not playing in the NFL right now. He has taken an assistant coaching job with, I believe it was Georgia Tech.
I believe so as well.
Is that correct? Mm-hmm. Yep. Hall of Famer, I'd say for sure. If not a first ballot, then an eventually Hall of Famer. Was impactful over a decently long career, most notably with the Houston Texans. Gonna miss Nuke.
Mm-hmm. We had some good memories with DeAndre Hopkins. He had some journeyman years going through Arizona and Baltimore, but you know, great for our fantasy teams. We could send him off into the sunset with his head held high, but he should definitely fully retire because he's not eligible for our Fantasy League's Hall of Fame until you're fully retired. So people really need to start signing the paperwork. Otherwise, they don't get recognition from us.
Yep. There are a lot of guys out there who are retired and don't sign the paperwork, so they are never, like, formally recognized. Like, I think Eric Ebron is one of those guys, like, still today hasn't officially retired.
That sounds like a very Eric Ebron thing to do, though.
Yeah, it does. But the other piece of news we had was about Ricky Pearsall, the substation strikes again. Another 49er receiver goes down, and kind of thank God they re-signed Debo, right? I mean,
well, yeah, they signed Debo. I think it was a few hours or a half day after this news broke, but Pearsall's going to miss the entirety of the 2026 season. Congratulations to us, James, because we were both out on Ricky Pearsall, and that's one prediction correct. You guys are
Look
welcome.
100% on the air.
But a Debo, I mean, it's a worthy question as to how fantasy-relevant Debo Samuels will be back with the 49ers. Last year with the Commanders, he was fine, somewhere in the realm of 70 receptions for 700 yards. I think it was 5 touchdowns off the top of my head, but you know, well enough to be rostered, not well enough to be anything super exciting. Here on the 49ers, though, with a wide receiver core that's currently boasting, you know, Mike Evans, who's aged and can be hurt, but should be the number one. And then we've got new draftee, the 33rd overall pick, DeJon Stribling, I think is his name. Is that how you pronounce it? I don't know. And then a couple other off-sorted people like Christian Kirk, things of that nature. So Debo will be, I think, relied upon to a relatively good degree, at the very least to be a higher end of the wide receiver 3 range, somewhere in the wide receiver 30 or perhaps a little bit higher than that, at least in my estimations. I think he'll be worthwhile to be drafted, but later on in the middle rounds, definitely.
Yep. Okay. I think we are ready to get right into our teams for the day. I think we should start with the more relevant of the two, that being the Buffalo Bills. So I want to start with the quarterback because we have the QB1 going into the season this year and Josh Allen. I think there's really probably no clear competition for the preseason QB1 in fantasy football. Largely because some of the guys who you would have expected to be competing for that last year got hurt or just weren't around competitively. Like Lamar Jackson, the guy who's been up there with him as far as mobile guys has been, looked like his brain exploded for most of the season last year. He's not really being looked at in the QB1 conversation. He is being looked at as a very valuable and highly drafted quarterback, but not fighting for QB1. Patrick Mahomes coming off of some significant leg injuries, also falling down the boards to a little bit more significant extent. Although I think with the things we're hearing out of camp right now, he may jump up. But Josh Allen, not hurt, played well last year. But that doesn't mean that everything is good and easy and right in the world of Josh Allen's Buffalo Bills. They do have a new head coach. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot different from the last head coach, but with that always comes some major or minor shakeups. He still has a questionable receiving staff, although DJ Moore is, I would say, a significant upgrade over what they were working with last year. And he's going to be expected to basically carry this team on his back. So Josh Allen, QB1, seeing him going in the third round. Don't overdraft quarterbacks. No, I feel like in 2026 we shouldn't have to say that, but I know we do. Stu, what do you got on Joshua?
I mean, in a down year last year, at least compared to his own averages and standards, he was statistically just not as good last year, and he's still coming into this season as the unquestioned quarterback one. You've said it yourself, his weapons were a little lackluster last year. The offense ran through him and then James Cook in their rushing game. They lost out on the divisional crown for the first time in however long it's been, but he is still an excellent fantasy football target. He is a home run swing in the third round. I would take him there if he was offered to me. I wouldn't in the second, so you know, manage the price tag that you're paying. There are significant improvements in tiers and other positions. You'd lose more if you didn't take those other positions, if you took Josh Allen too early, in my opinion. So, he is the quarterback prospect going into this season. You should be looking to get him on your teams. That's all there is to it. Sometimes this game is very, very easy. Josh Allen is an excellent player. You put excellent players on your fantasy roster. There's nothing else to talk about. More interestingly, you mentioned his name, so I kind of want to talk into the more spicy aspects of this team, and that's the wide receiver core, which was highly lackluster, led by Khalil Shakir and Keon Coleman last year. They have a conglomerate of the Curtis Samuels, the Joshua Palmers, really, really underwhelming weapons overall for an MVP, perennial MVP candidate in Josh Allen to throw to, and now we have DJ Moore, who is on the older side of things, 29, younger than me, but still, he was kind of phased out of Chicago. We were all really excited for the Chicago offense last year, and while it was quite fun, it wasn't super fun for DJ Moore, especially over the second half of the season. I mean, ending the season, one catch on three targets for 11 yards, that's role player stuff. So we were in dire straits towards the end of the last season. Coming into this brand new offense, like you mentioned, a brand new head coach, though I believe it was their former offensive coordinator. Can you correct me if I'm wrong there, James?
You're correct.
Okay.
That's why I said not big changes I'm expecting.
Not big changes, but it's for him to be in a completely new environment with less exciting weapons than, Colston Loveland or Luther Burden or Rome Odunze surrounding him. It's a decent bet to say that DJ Moore would be a good, solid option in fantasy football in 26. But James, he is one of the most popular fade targets I see being talked about on online and on various discourse-related platforms. Where are you standing with him? DJ Moore is one of the last wide receivers I'm selecting out of the top 24. And really, I can't explain why. Do you have anything on it?
I'll just kind of say what I'm thinking about DJ Moore, and we'll get around to answering that question by doing that. DJ Moore, I'm seeing in PPR as the wide receiver 27. I think the Bills acquiring him was a great football move, but maybe not a great fantasy football move. They bring in a veteran wide receiver who has some big explosive downfield potential, which is great. Every team needs that. And more than that, they needed a veteran because just the entire receiving core last year was god awful. There was no leadership in that receiving core. Keon Coleman got benched for how many games for what seemed like an effort thing. So just very badly in need of someone who's been around and has been, if not elite, then very, very good, which I think we could say DJ Moore has been very, very good. I think he's gonna be the leading receiver on this team. I don't really know what that means, but if you bring in a single competent wide receiver to this team that has had none since Stephon Diggs, there's really a very clear path to production for DJ Moore that is easy for us all to overlook, and I'm not targeting him. I saw what he did late in the season with the Bears. People still blame him for that interception that Caleb Williams threw against the Rams at the end of the season in the playoffs last year. I don't necessarily think that DJ Moore is still an elite adjacent wide receiver, but I think him being there is a good thing for the team, if that makes sense. I'm still not taking him in the fifth round. That seems crazy to me. But I think that he should help this team as a more, probably their most reliable receiving target. And that includes with the tight ends, Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox. Didn't really see anything reliable or interesting or desirable about any of those guys. Dalton Kincaid is going as the tight end 12 in PPR. He was, hell, the tight end 20 last year. There was just really nothing consistent or desirable about the passing game with the Bills last year at all. And I'm not excited for it this year either. So,
I mean, if it can open up anything for James Cook to not have to shoulder the entirety of the load and up Josh Allen's passing numbers, I'll take it. Dalton Kincaid was really hampered by, I think it was injury all last season. He would miss a couple games and then just not come back himself. Not that he's, you know, ever proven to be super capable, at least on a fantasy football radar. DJ Moore just, tell me if I'm wrong, but he smells to me like, say you're in your family league, you know, you got 10 or 11 out of 12 people drafting at the same time. You're having a good time. There is that one team that is off to auto drafting. And through the season, the team that they make is, for whatever reason, really, really good. Their manager is not really doing anything, but it's really, really good. And they auto drafted. They're the only ones, and you don't understand why. And it was because they took these players, these older players or these less thought of players or these faded players like DJ Moore, and we end up being wrong about them. It smells to me like he'll be a lot better than what I think most of, you know, this society, I don't know what you want to call it.
So does that mean you are targeting him?
I'm trying to talk myself into it, I think. I just am not super effective at talking even myself into it. There is a world that I would take him, especially since I tend to go running back heavy, since, you know, Chase Brown is just my gorgeous boy, and you're going to take him from me. I know you are. So
it's a good chance.
I end up looking at the wide receivers in that range, in that tier, if you will, pretty, pretty frequently, and I could be forced to do it. But anything to say on James Cook? James Cook has finally broken into the first round in mocks this year. He's going as the running back 6, according to your notes. In standard forms, he's like running back 5. I can't read, apparently. I'm highly, highly educated and can't read still. Running back 5. So, really, really awesome bet. Really, really great role in the offense. He does have some fairly competent backups in Ray Davis for the rushing downs, Ty Johnson for the passing work, and then they have the illustrious Frank Gore Jr. Or is it senior? It's junior. But, yeah, it's his job. Excellent, excellent, excellent numbers last year. It was something like 1,600 yards. Over 300 carries, 12 touchdowns. He could be set for that or more this coming season, especially if the pass catchers can open things up underneath and he faces a little less competition directly at the line of scrimmage. James, you got anything on James Cook?
Yeah, James Cook coming off of, I want to say, his first career rushing title. I'm fairly certain this is his first career rushing title. 1,621 yards last year. Fantastic. The only thing that would have made it better would be more than 12 rushing touchdowns. He did get another 2 through the air, but James Cook is elite, elite. He has explosive ability. He's a small and shifty running back enough that he can make people miss at the line of scrimmage, which is an excellent thing to have for any offense, and he's been performing very well with the Bills over these past few years. I will say I'm not fading James Cook. I am fading this Bills offense. I think they're poised to take a step back. But James Cook, I would still take as a first rounder, and I would take him pretty comfortably. But where I would take some of those other first round running backs, either before or after him, I think there is some question. So Stu, I'm gonna throw some of those at you right now. So, who would you rather have? So, who would you rather have, James Cook or Jonathan Taylor?
Oh, that's actually a really good one to start. Oh, gosh. I think that I would take Jonathan Taylor, but he has a little bit more variability.
I think I would as well. James Cook or Devon Achane?
I would take James Cook easily.
I'm not sure where I'm at on that yet, but we'll have...
We'll get to that.
he's later in the episode. James Cook or Chase Brown?
I would take James Cook. As much as I love Chase Brown, I think he's set up to have a great season. James Cook is the focal point of this offense.
Mm-hmm. Last one. James Cook or Ashton Jeanty?
James Cook.
All right. I think we're in agreement on all those just because I'm not totally sure where I'm at on Devon Achane yet. But I think we're ready to move on to the Dolphins, and he is the only fantasy relevant guy we're going to be talking about here. The Dolphins have even fewer guys to talk about than the Raiders do. And it comes down just to Devon Achane. Devon Achane was the RB5 in PPR last year. He was fantastic in an otherwise lost season for the Dolphins. And if the season was lost last year in the death knells of Mike McDaniel and Tua and Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, whatever's left of him, all of those guys, Devon Achane was the only guy who had a good season last year. And if that season was lost, this season has never had any direction to begin with. The Dolphins are going to be... They're going to be pretty bad. So, with that said, Stu, how much stock are you putting in Devon Achane's really last two seasons when you look at him today? Are you still taking him in the first round? I would assume late first round. Are you still targeting him? Are you still wanting to get him on your team, knowing that this Dolphins team has so much
wrong with it? Yeah. Devon Achane is not a first-round target. Get that out of our heads. There's no way I'm building the entirety of my team around something like this, but I would be quite excited to have him in the second round. The thing that gets you just every single time is this offensive line is not good. This offense is not good. The defense won't be good, so they'll be behind in games. They're going to win maybe two games, three games all season. Their quarterback was given a contract based off of, I don't know, like four games. I mean, how many games did he start for the Packers? Four games he played. He threw exactly 35 attempts, and Malik Willis got a contract with the Dolphins for that. The best thing going for them is that Devon Achane is fast and Malik Willis is fast. So, hey, which of those two guys is going to be carrying the ball on any given play? Because there's nothing else here. The workload for Devon Achane, the injury history for Devon Achane, all of this are heavy negative pieces dragging him down out of the first round like he was last year in 2025, but it doesn't drag him that far for me. He's highly variable. He's going to get a lot of work. He's extremely difficult to tackle. He racks up points. He can catch balls out of the backfield. Garbage time is garbage time. If he can stay healthy, he'll still be a very, very, very valuable fantasy target for people. It's just, is he going to stay healthy, and can the offense operate at all with a signal caller who's, how many games played in his career? He has sub 25 games played in his career, and he started in 2022. I don't trust it, but I'm not actively avoiding him, James, I think is my end-all be-all long-term, or too long didn't read statement.
That's fair. I think I keep wanting to fade Devon Achane, But I just can't quit him just based on the kind of player that he is and what he has shown. And even last year, I'm just looking at his game log right now. He did not have a single game below 12 points. He didn't have a single game below 12 points. I was going to say below 10 points, but it was 12. Even with how terrible that Dolphins offense was last year. And he didn't even, like, do that much through the air. He was just so explosive through the air when he did get those opportunities. 67 receptions for almost 500 yards last year through the air. He was really, really, really good, and I'm sure carried some teams to championships. If Tua and a little bit of Quinn Ewers could feed that to him last year, I think Malik Willis could as well. I think Devon Achane is still a pretty safe, I'm going to say late first, early second pick, because I know that some of you still think Justin Jefferson is a first rounder this year, and I think you are wrong. But
that was your guy. You just took a shot at your guy.
Well, I'm not taking a shot at Justin Jefferson. I'm taking a shot at everything else.
That's Kyler Murray. There. Yeah.
Yeah. At least we don't have to pretend it's J.J. McCarthy anymore. Like, no one thinks he's going to come out starting this team. I don't think... we're talking about the wrong team. Is there anything else to talk about with the Dolphins? We got Malik Willis, who probably isn't going to live up to his QB21 name there. I love that the highest ranked wide receiver on the Dolphins right now in PPR is Malik Washington at the wide receiver 77. There's nothing on this team. Absolutely nothing. It's kind of pathetic.
He's not going to be draftable, but Greg Dulcich, people say that he's the number one target coming out of that team right now. And if you can get him for free and he can, you know, stay healthy,
I think
as a tight end.
The only thing we know for sure with this team is Devon Achane. Everything else is, it's going to have to reestablish itself as a pecking order because we don't have any clue right now.
Mm-hmm. So in lieu of talking about the rest of the team, let's play a game, James. Play the game of let's push Devon Achane outside of the first round for James Leon Kemp.
Why?
How big of a team is this draft? Are we going 12? Are we going 10? You want to go 12?
I would usually do 12.
12. Okay. So how many wide receivers would we assume go in the first round? I would say currently 5. If you want to push Justin Jefferson out, looking at the current standard rankings, that would leave you Ja'Marr Chase, Puka Nacua, Smith-Njigba, St. Brown, and CeeDee Lamb as wide receivers 1 through 5 going in the first round, leaving 7 spots for the running back.
Mm-hmm.
7 spots. You want Devon Achane or Jahmyr Gibbs? Jahmyr Gibbs.
I want Jahmyr Gibbs.
You want Bijan Robinson or Devon Achane?
Bijan Robinson.
Jonathan Taylor or Achane?
I'll take JT.
Okay. CMC or Achane?
Run CMC.
That makes 4. We need 6? 7? We need 7.
7.
James Cook, Devon Achane. I think we already established that.
It's kind of a push for me, but I guess I'd take James Cook.
Okay, that makes 5. We need to find 2 running backs that you would take over Devon Achane. Let's start with Saquon.
I love Saquon. I'm taking Achane.
Okay. Let's try Ashton Jeanty.
Achane.
Okay. Marion Hampton.
Achane, but Omarion Hampton, love his upside.
Yeah, absolutely. How about Ken Bone Walker?
No.
Really?
Achane.
That's one I do disagree on. I think I would take Kenneth Walker over. I would take Saquon over, and I might take Jeanty over, but I would take Achane over Marion Hampton. Chase Brown, and then I'll have one more after this.
Achane, unless you can convince me Chase Brown is going to get 15 touchdowns this year.
15 is a steep number, that's for sure. Especially in that offense, but they are going to score a lot of times. Mm. I don't know how many touchdowns did he have last year.
Let me look. 4.
6 total.
Something like that. 6 or 4, whatever. 4 rushing, 2 receiving, I think, right?
Right now, I'm looking at 2025, 6 rushing, 5 receiving.
Okay, I'm way off.
Me too.
Yeah. For some reason in my brain, it's one of those things where like you inflate it the longer you think about it. Like, oh yeah, Chase Brown only had 6 rushing touchdowns, and then next thing I know, I'm thinking, man, did Chase Brown score it all last year? He was so good,
I mean,
but he didn't.
Having a terrible first half, if he can do the same second half again, I would see four touchdowns coming out of that first half. Anyway, one last one is a guy that I know you like a lot. I think you'll take Achane over him, but it's Kyren Williams.
It's Achane. I do very much respect Kyren Williams. I think he is, I would have said he was the ultimate floor play, and until you look at Devon Achane and see he never had a bad game last year. But Achane, for sure.
Well, we have officially failed to push him out of your first round. Congratulations, everyone. It just inserts stock, like, crowd applause and cheers.
Yay.
little Price is Right action right there.
We'll see if I have any desire to go looking for sound effects.
Or we just leave it in like this. But that's it. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing else on the Dolphins. I mean, people will catch passes. Malik Washington could be a nice little waiver target after week one, but there's just nothing. I mean, we got Jalen Tolbert, Tutu Atwell, both players that have been cast off of their former teams for the overall lack of production. And we already mentioned Greg Dulcich. There's just nothing to get excited about on this Dolphins team. It's going to be rough for them. Imagine playing in such a cookie cutter division that you play with the Dolphins and the Jets.
Yeah. Hey, shout out to Caden Proctor, first round pick, tackle out of Alabama. That's a good pick. Gonna protect Malik Willis, I guess. Help Devon Achane run off tackle. That's great.
I'm sure he's up to the task.
All right. Little quicker one today, Stu. Closing thoughts, my friend.
If you want to interact with us, we are on our socials, fantasyfootbeer at gmail.com. We take beer requests and questions. Please send in questions. We love questions. We're on X and Instagram at fantasyfootbeer on both platforms. Another week down. We're going to get to talk about the Jets. We're going to get to talk about the Patriots. Or have we already done that? Am I like completely crazy?
No, we're doing that in what? 4 days? 3 days?
Four days. Yeah, it should be very soon, but somehow I'm like convincing myself we already have, just because we've talked about AJ Brown multiple times. Anyway, look forward to that. We're getting close to the end of the divisionals. More camp stuff is going to come out. We're going to talk about hype trains, probably. Cyrus Allen hurt himself today, so he got carted off, and so did Xavier Worthy. I wasn't super psyched to see that, because I kind of championed Xavier Worthy a couple weeks ago. I'm sure he'll be fine and not injury-prone like a 165-pound player in the NFL would logically be. Take us home for the evening, James.
All right. I was going to ask real quick if you wanted to add any bet around Devon Achane, but
We'll think about it.
We'll think about it. We'll try to add that to another episode if we think about it. But thank you all again for listening to another exciting episode of Fantasy Footbeer. As Stu said, we are getting close. 3 more episodes of Divisional Breakdowns. It's electric. It's exciting. Watched Spider-Man 3 again the other day. It's hip. It's now. It's wow. And how. That sucks. Anyway, for all of us here at Fantasy Footbeer, for Dr. Michael Stewart, for Pixel the Cat and Indy the Dog, I'm James Kemp. Good night and good talk.